put one outlet there, you should put a quad.
I should have, but I didn't.
You still can, can't you?
Yep.
All right, we're live. We're live. Anybody joining? You got people joining. That was bullshit. I'm going to tell you right now, that was bullshit. I'm going to curse like a sailor now. Mad. I'm mad, dude.
Got shut down.
They shut us down for firearms violation. Like, we weren't sitting here pointing guns at each other. There's a stock of a gun behind me. This one will probably shut us down, too, for the same bullshit.
We weren't even thinking about that.
We weren't even discussing it.
Try to talk about gardening and all the fun stuff around it.
Holy shit.
Yep.
How do I do that? I don't even know how to respond. I can't even get to my phone to respond to stuff.
Where's your phone?
Right there, it's filming.
Oh. See, you should have plugged my phone into it and then use your phone.
Yeah.
I got a camera on that bad boy.
Anyway, that was terrible. So we were live on TikTok, and then TikTok shut us down because of a firearms violation, which you see in the background here. I'm not even on the camera. I'm all discombobulated now.
Try to get myself in there a little bit better.
Unexpected, but.
So, yeah, they shut us down for a firearms violation because there's a stock of a shotgun behind my head, apparently, and that pissed off TikTok. Whatever. So now we're just going to go live on Instagram, and we're still going to record. Maybe we should start all over. Whole intro, everything.
Probably should at this point.
Right?
Sure.
They get the intro rolling. They do it in the movies. You start the movie, and then they get the intro going for 20 minutes. And
yeah, we're like Quentin Tarantino. We'll start and then go back.
Exactly.
Well, we're recording again, so I'll have to edit this for the podcast, but whatever. Let's start the intro music. If it plays. Apparently, there was no music before. I don't know. We could talk over this now. Hank Williams Jr., Country Boy Can Survive. Ladies and gentlemen. I don't even know if it's playing. The preacher man says it's the probably be recording, though, so it'll be on the podcast, right? And if we talk over it, it's not a violation of a copyright because it's not the actual song. It's like I'm doing fucking karaoke.
It's pieces of it, right? If you go downtown.
I cannot believe I'm so mad, dude. I'm mad.
We got like a few minutes until we're all just getting comfortable.
It started getting good. I was like introing you guys like a professional. I got a shotgun. TikTok. Chinese app, that's why. They got no first, they got no Second Amendment. Instagram's got no Second Amendment either, probably. They're gonna shut me down in about 10 minutes.
They probably have an older version of the
AI. I have to lean in like this so I'm on camera.
It's hard, so I look over here, but I know I'm supposed to be looking here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm going to look up and just read comments, but there are none. So.
At least
with
the last one, people look on the phone there and see how where I'm looking.
What are you looking at? Picture of the back of your head. So here we go. We're live. I'll fade the music out if it's even playing. Let's see. Think I could do a better fade? The last fade was terrible.
See, I couldn't hear it, so I couldn't quite tell.
Look, we're on a low budget here. I can't afford guest headphones. You can't hear the music right now.
I'm half deaf. I can hear something coming from that laptop.
And we're live. How's it going, folks? Welcome back to the show. That was a hell of a break. We changed formats. We changed platforms and whatever.
Cursed a little bit.
Yeah, a lot of cursing.
Yeah. A lot of talk about that First Amendment.
It's the Second Amendment. And the First. And the Why first. Not? I mean, can't. They shut down my First Amendment because of the Second Amendment.
Right? Yes.
I wasn't allowed to speak.
Nope.
Unbelievable. So this is what we're calling the Coyote Cast. This is a podcast about homesteading, food, food. What's the word I'm looking for? Procuring.
Okay.
Food procuring.
Through
growing, through raising, through hunting, through fishing, through foraging. Whatever you do to get food and get out of the food system.
Yes.
You know? Mm-hmm. So I'm here with Chris and Ted Bazelvich, two old-time friends of mine. We grew up together. We, again, no music. We had no music then either. They're after me, these sons of bitches. So we grew up together, what, how many years?
It's been over a few decades, anyway.
Decades.
Decades.
Pushing 30.
I'm not even on camera, but fuck it. Ted, twist that camera towards me a little bit. There's too much Chris. Nobody wants to see Chris.
No. I'll
there we go. Well,
moving on, John. Hold on.
It's all in the middle. So, yeah, so this is a podcast about... Oh, God, Ted. Jesus, it's all right. On the shit today. It's going to shit.
At least we're enjoying the ride.
So, Ted and Chris. So, I didn't grow up on a farm. I grew up in, like, you know, not suburban, rural. I grew around farms, but I didn't live on a farm. But I hung out at your house a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Probably too much.
Probably.
But you guys grew up with cattle.
Cattle, horses, pigs when we were really, really young. Chickens, ducks, yeah.
Any turkeys?
Not any.
We had pheasants.
No. Pheasants and quail.
Oh, yeah. did have pheasants, remember?
Yeah, those, they're fun to take care of, but we can get into that later.
So, I would spend a lot. We were in a band together, and our rehearsal space was your barn.
Yeah. And, above the animals.
Yeah, and I literally spent every waking minute of my life. I mean, I lived at that barn.
7 days a week?
To the point where I should have probably paid rent to,
right?
to live there.
Yeah. I mean, that's music was our life then.
Yeah. So it was music. But then during the day, I mean, there was chickens, ducks, everything was out there. A cow lived underneath us, our rehearsal space.
Yep.
And that you guys were my introduction into like this lifestyle where like you raise your own chickens, you get your own
eggs.
It's
definitely a lifestyle.
You get a garden going and you know, like that was my introduction to it. So I wanted to like introduce these folks on the podcast to how I got introduced and it's you guys. Like, we would party all night playing music.
Mm-hmm.
I'd wake up in the morning. Ted would have potatoes from the garden. He'd have onions from the garden. He'd have eggs from the chickens. And like he'd be cooking me breakfast. And it was all from right there, like from 50 feet away. And I had no idea. You know, I'm just like,
damn, Ted's a good cook.
Well, the craziest thing is that's where I learned that you didn't have to refrigerate farm-raised eggs.
Correct.
It like blew my mind because I'm sitting there, there's a basket of eggs on the counter.
Yeah.
And he's cracking them and cooking them. I'm like, dude, how long have these been out? And he's like, they're farm-raised. Like, you don't have to refrigerate
these. You get them every day.
And I didn't believe him. I was like, this dude's crazy. Like, you don't have to refrigerate these eggs.
Uh-huh.
But you don't.
Nope.
You have like what? 2 months? Like how long can you leave an egg out on the counter from?
Probably as long as it's not in the blistering sun, but it's in a nice, cool, dry environment. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you got some time on there.
A month recommended.
I mean, we usually
2-3 months at most.
I mean, you could push it as long as there's no crack in the eggshell or it's got soaking wet or anything, right? Because it's got the protective coating that store-bought eggs will wash off.
Yeah, here in America, because Europe doesn't do that, supposedly.
What, they don't wash their eggs in Europe?
No.
They don't wash their pits either, right?
Oh,
right.
That's France.
Oh.
I think that's shaving.
Well, that's it, yeah.
I don't know.
But yeah, eggs, yeah, you can keep them out for quite a while.
Yeah.
And they taste great. And the color of the eggs are
richer
night and day from store-bought.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, store-bought is yellow, and fresh eggs are orange, like a deep
honey.
Orange.
Yeah, it looks like honey more.
Like the deeper the orange, the better they are.
The newer it is, the fresher. Yeah.
Oh, if the oranger it is, the fresher it is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Really.
Mm-hmm. Depending on the chicken too, but yeah, usually if it's really like a dark orange, it's like a day, 2 days old, and over time it turns yellow.
Yeah.
It's old.
That's fucking nuts.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys had chickens, you had ducks.
Which we also eat the duck eggs, too. So
they're better for baking.
They're great for baking. They do taste a little different than chicken eggs, but they're edible. They're great. You know, I used to do one duck egg to two chicken eggs if I'm doing scrambled eggs or whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I don't think I've ever had a duck egg. I don't think so. Yeah. I love ducks. Here's a little something. My first pet was a duck when I was a little kid. I was like 6 years old. My parents got me a – I don't even know if they got me a duck or found a duck. I don't know where this damn duck came from.
But there was a duck.
I was 6 years old. I had a pet duck.
You remember what kind it was? It was yellow?
It was white.
A white? Like Tank.
It was a white duck? Yeah. I'm going to get into it. So, yeah, my first pet was a duck.
Okay.
And it went across the street in a neighbor's garden, and they like shot it and ate it or something.
Oh, boy.
It just disappeared. My parents didn't tell me that till years later, but even years later, I was mad. I wanted to find that neighbor. I'm like, dude, you shot a 6-year old's fucking duck. Why would you shoot my duck?
Right. It didn't do anything to you.
But years later, so Chris, being in the band, Chris had, he was raising chickens. Yeah. And I was like, man, that's so crazy. Like, you're raising these chickens out here.
I think for the last 30 years, I've always had chickens.
Yeah. But I went and bought a bunch of chickens,
mm-hmm.
and I raised them in my bedroom, and then they got so big, and I had nothing to do. I didn't have a coop. I had no plan. I had no plan.
That's
zero
the thing
plan.
About farming and gardening. You have to have a plan.
Yeah. So I was like, I don't know, 18, 19 years old. I raised these chickens in my bedroom. A chicken, three chickens, three ducks. That's what it was.
Oh, man, that takes up a lot of space.
Well, then when they got too big, I brought them to you. And I was like, that's where Tank came from.
Oh, okay.
That big white duck?
Yeah, yeah. Tank, yeah, so, and we had the two other ones.
So I went and dropped them off at your house. I was like, I raised them. You can have them. And
that's it. I don't remember that. I mean, memory's a stranger.
That's where I just remember
that always being there. They were like the band mascot. Well,
there's been so many different ones there. Right. You know, you can't remember how.
Well, that's the other thing. Our band, so we would, like I said, we would party all night. We would go play clubs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then we'd come back to the barn, rehearse by day.
Mm-hmm.
Write, rehearse, record, whatever we were doing at the time. But when we came back, we had those ducks. And Ted and I, we went and bought a kiddie. Remember the kiddie pool?
Yep.
So we bought a giant kiddie pool for those ducks I raised in my bedroom and dropped them off to you.
Right.
And then we would go swimming in this kiddie pool with these ducks.
There you go.
Like, it was all green, like a pond. We didn't take care. We never changed the water, but we had these ducks swimming in it. We'd swim in there.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'd go in, rehearse, go out, go for a swim in the green. It was a giant kiddie pool, though. It was probably, like, what, 10, 15 feet around?
Not 15, but 10, 12?
So, yeah, like 12. Like
maybe,
a 12-foot kiddie pool.
Yeah.
Like a 3-foot high, and we had ducks swimming in there, and we would go in there and hang out.
Nice.
But that's the life that we were living. Yeah, yeah. And that's weird.
Yeah.
Like, for teenage boys to be doing that. Like, not the band part. That's probably pretty cool and normal.
Yeah.
But the part where by day you're living with livestock, that's a little weird and strange. But, well, that's the other thing. So by day you were gardening like crazy.
Yeah.
As like a teenage boy.
Learning it.
20-year-old kid.
Right.
You're out there growing vegetables.
Which I don't think many kids at that age would do, you know?
No. No.
The average.
Not at all. Never.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody. Nobody. Yeah. No teenage. But yeah, so where did that start? Like, how did you just end up? You have a giant garden. It was like a field.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess, you know, growing up with it and then, you know, working in the city and coming home and. You know, that was just a nice...
It's a good stress reliever being in that garden. It's quiet. It's peaceful. So,
yeah, it was like a next step. It's like, hey, I grew up doing this. You know, I don't have the livestock, but let me grow stuff.
Yeah, but like... But you grew up, like, your mom had a garden.
Yes. Your grandfather had a garden. All the neighbors had gardens. It's what people did back then.
Yeah, my parents... Well, we did have a garden, but not... It wasn't anything like yours. Yours was like giant.
Yeah, I mean,
that was like an Amish garden.
It was kind of like the one when I moved away. I literally had like 5 tomato plants, a bean plant.
That's how I started.
Small little.
Yeah.
That's what I started doing after working for moms in gardens, stuff like that, and to building my own garden. I'm still building to this day my garden right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I never even introduced you guys. I said Ted and Chris, but nobody knows which is which, right?
Probably not.
No.
They can only see Chris, so that's a good point.
Yeah. So, Ted, say hi. Say hi. I'm Ted.
Hi, I'm Ted right here. Pleasure to meet you all.
I'm Chris.
Okay, there we go. Now we know the voice. You guys, I don't think you sound the same at all, but maybe. Who knows?
We sound like we're related. That's what
Well, you
says.
Should, because you're brothers. Yeah. So you should sound related. So, so what about now? What do you guys, so you go from growing the garden, I mean, cows, chickens, ducks, and then you just kept going.
Because we kept getting older, I guess. I don't know. It's just, you know, knowledge. For me, it's knowledge. It's like, I want to find out more. I want to learn more. So I you know, I plant stuff that I don't eat. I mean, I'll try it.
You plant stuff you like you don't eat.
I don't really care for. I just want to know that I can.
Compost it?
Yeah, I mean, there's always use
for it. Wait. You grow stuff just to grow it?
Yes. Just for the knowledge, yeah. Just to see if I can.
Like what? Tell me.
Habaneros. Like I gave you some earlier. I do use them in chili and whatnot, but I don't really use them that much because they're so damn hot. But I just wanted to see if I could grow them.
And then give them away.
Yes.
Yeah. What else?
There's not much more because I'm lucky where I eat a lot of different things. I've traveled the world. I eat almost anything.
Yeah. Bok choy. You were the first. Like, I was like, what the hell is bok choy?
Right. That's what we were talking about earlier, right?
Yeah, bok choy is the one I got. Yeah, okay. You had the
rabi or whatever the hell it was.
Well, when I first heard it, it was from him. He was like, do you want some bok choy? And I was like, what the hell is bok choy? He's like, you know, when we go get Chinese food, like, this is the thing that's like this. And I'm
green
like,
onion looking shoot things.
I was like, no, I don't. I just eat it. I don't study it.
That's the thing. I mean, all the food that we eat at restaurants is like, what is this? Can we grow it? All right. That's another reason why I grow stuff, too. Can I grow that?
Yeah, I actually got a couple things coming to my garden this year that I know nothing about. They're Asian. Brandy said, oh, I want this for some greens. And all right, let's try a couple things. That's how I got the bok choy. The bok choy they actually gave me. Oh, wait, no. That might have been a free seed when I ordered from Becker's. I think that, I got
no
a few
idea
free
what
seeds.
That is. What's Becker's?
It's a seed catalog.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Yep, but I think they're the ones that send you always the extra free seeds, which is always kind of nice.
That's yeah.
Got some good cabbage off of them. I can't wait to try.
So how hard would you say it is, like, for someone just to start?
It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
It can be.
Can be.
I'm not saying start at your level.
Right.
I'm saying just start.
It's relatively easy. I mean,
miracle grow in water.
I mean, we're not going to go, I don't want to quote Mayor Bloomberg, what he said a decade ago about gardening's easy. You just dig a hole, throw the seed in, water it, and then that's it. It's not like that.
He said that?
Yeah, he actually said that.
He really did?
Yeah. No, yeah, I mean, the principle of it is correct, but you got to take care of it.
You got to water it every day, not just once, first of all. Or you got to at least check to see if it needs water.
Mm-hmm.
You got to fertilize. You don't have to fertilize. If you have a good soil, you don't need to fertilize. Fertilizer is going to give you a bigger, better fruit.
And it depends on the what you're growing, too.
Exactly. But it's different.
Yeah. But back to your original question, how easy is it to start? It's relatively easy, but you got to put the time in it.
You got to want to do it.
Yeah. Everybody thinks, oh, gardening, you just, look, Mayor Bloomberg, just plant it and walk away. No, you got to watch it at least once a week, maybe twice a week.
My thing is weeding, man.
Oh, that's every gardener that
gets me.
I try not to do that. Mulch. Mm-hmm. Mulch the shit out of everything.
Yep, I do.
Leaves are the best.
Leaves or grass clippings.
Grass clippings work great.
I've tried the mulch. Mm-hmm. They still get me.
Were you talking about wood mulch?
No, just like grass clippings or whatever. I mean, now I have tons of mulch hay. So this year I'm going to use mulch hay.
Right. But you're still always going to get weeds because they want to grow more than the vegetables.
Yes.
And it's all about planting, too. I mean, if you got, you know, a cabbage this big around, not much is going to grow under. And if you plant it accordingly, get your spacings right and everything, you're going to help to alleviate a lot of that.
Little tricks, yep.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It's a lot of little stuff that you get to
use. I despise weeding.
I think that's most gardeners.
Yeah. But it's my downfall because every year what I'll do is I'll plant a garden. I'll be like, hell yeah, dude. And then like a month later,
looks great.
I'll be like, oh, there's some weeds. I'll just weed through here. And then I get caught up in life and I look out there and they're 3 feet high. My plants are being choked out. And I'm like, well, there goes this year. Yeah, or like last year. I just I came back from vacation and my garden was gone. Mm-hmm. It was just overgrown. So the whole year I just spent like trying to find vegetables. I was like a forager in my own garden. I was just trying to like find vegetables through the weeds. Like, oh my God, I actually found a pumpkin last year. I was like, we didn't even grow pumpkins.
Oh no shit.
We grew pumpkins like the year before.
Yeah, okay,
yeah, that happens. Yeah.
And I went out there and there's this giant pumpkin under the weeds. I was like, holy crap. And then in my old chicken run, there was like a whole pumpkin patch because that's where I threw the old pumpkins.
Oh, yeah.
My chickens ate them up.
Yep.
But then
some of the seeds.
So after the old run and the chicken manure, it just grew a whole pumpkin patch.
Mother Nature is great.
Yeah, it was crazy. Mm-hmm. I love pumpkins because they're so easy to grow. Yeah. You don't even have to plant them.
No, exactly. Just got to worry about the deer.
And they taste great.
I haven't roasted a pumpkin. We do spaghetti squash. We'll roast those.
Yeah, that stuff's good.
But I think we got one spaghetti squash out of the garden last year.
Yeah, I didn't get too many. The year before, I was giving them away.
Yeah.
Now, we had a bunch this year growing out of the compost pile. Seeds made it into
that's
it.
Had
some big ones there. But we had actually the pumpkins this year. Brandy made, we like scraped it all down and made it cubes, I guess 1-inch cubes or something.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And baked them.
Oh,
it tasted like a cross between a potato and a sweet potato. It was amazing.
Yes. I just did that last week. Something to that extent.
That's the spaghetti squash?
No, the pumpkin.
Oh, pumpkin.
Yeah, I did mine with a butternut squash. So same concept, cube it up, and it tastes a mix between those two.
Yeah.
Yep, pretty interesting.
So,
never had that into my life, not so recently, you know?
Right.
So you, Ted, you kind of go more raised bed, right?
I'm all raised beds where I am, yes.
And you go full in the ground, right?
I do both, but my main garden, my main three gardens are just in the soil.
In the soil?
Yeah.
So as far as that, would you, like, what? How do you treat your soil? What do you do off season? Like, what do you do during season, before the season?
You want to take this first and I'll answer mine because yours is different than
what
I do.
Raised bed, that's like a planter, like you build it out of wood.
Concrete, whatever, just raising it up. So it's not. I have bad soil at my house, so I put the weed barrels down, mulched everything, built up raised beds. I'm still trying the process of making soil all around my property, but in my raised beds, a lot of times it depends on how tall they are. The taller they are, I'll put filler in the bottom, like cut down wood and, you know, try to fill it up. Because all you really need is like 6 inches to a foot of dirt, really, per se.
Yeah, so you fill it with like a drainage type material, and then what? You go compost or you go...
Well, my soils I've been mixing. I get the big yellow bag usually, which is from Pine Island there, the black dirts.
So
I get
a
cube of that for like $180 for a 4x4x4 block. And then I usually take a bag of the peat moss. Then I'll either put perlite or the vermiculite in it. And that's my base mix.
What's vermiculite?
What's
perlite?
Perlite is, I believe, that's the volcano. It's volcanic rock that they pop it in ovens and it kind of just pops up and flakes apart. And that... You put in the soil for your aeration. It holds water. The microbes love to adhere to that, and that's, you know.
So that's just
good all around.
That's good all around. Yeah. So you got water.
And vermiculite, I believe, is similar. I forget the actual definition to that one, but.
So you go with like some sort of base.
Yeah, I make a base. I mix those three together. Then I'll add amendments to that, and the compost I add to it too. At that point, mix that all together. And then I use a lot of down-to-earth amendments, so, whatever I'm putting in there, lime all the way down to kelp meals, alfalfa meals, whatever I'm trying to make. and make my recipe, and then I'll blend that in to make a fresh bed. But now the beds are there, I would just make the mix, garnish it, rake it into the top, and go from there.
That's a lot of information.
It is a lot of information and a lot of work.
A lot of work.
A lot of money, too. So I spent $75 on a bag of freaking BioLive, which is a 444 type. I forget. It's like a 344 or whatever, but
nitrogen,
25,
potassium, and
your NPK.
So if you're getting into it, that is
the science part of it.
That sounds like that's a lot of learning. That's a lot of years of experience. What he just spouted out in about two seconds.
Yes. A lot of that was the last few years. I've been working on soils for probably about last maybe 4 years. I've been getting into making the soil.
Yeah.
Prior to that, I was just buying the black dirt, dumping it in.
That sounds more my speed.
Right. That's how you start out.
Yeah. But in the raised beds, you want the drainage, so you should be at least making that base and putting your perlite or vermiculite in with some kind of your peat moss or your humus, because you're in a raised bed and you're doing that to get the water in and out. You want to always be watering them. It doesn't retain as much.
And you want the bigger yield, too. Yeah, so you're taking care of your plants, get a bigger yield.
So you go both.
I do both. I usually, some years I do all natural. I don't touch it. And it works out pretty good. I don't get the big yields, but I always.
Less labor.
Yeah, exactly. All depends on the year. I also, I always do compost. Everything from the kitchen that we don't eat goes in the compost. And then
so
the
you
spring.
Do like a compost pile?
Yeah.
So you hot compost or you cold compost?
Both. But mainly hot. So, in the fall, I put the leaves in. During the winter, I put the ash in, all our kitchen scraps.
So, then you turn it.
Yeah, and it's enclosed. It has vents on it. I just keep turning it. And then in the spring, I take that, throw it in the garden, till it in. I don't know, there's a couple different things about tilling and non-tilling. Everybody has their own opinion. Yeah. I till my garden.
I always have. I don't even know why.
I till it. I get a top 4 to 6 inches.
Yeah. It gets rid of weeds and aerates it. And also during the winter, sometimes I'm not proud of it, but I take chemical fertilizer from a local box store, 10-10-10. And once a month I'll spread that out. And then as the snow or the rain hits, it goes in. Also in the beginning of fall, once the garden's done, I'll throw down lime, because lime takes a long time to deteriorate and go through that. So by the time spring hits and I till, all that's in the top layers, and I till it all in. And then right before like 3 weeks before I plant anything, I'll throw more fertilizer on it, whether it's compost or the chemical, whatever, and till that in. And that's how I do it. And my raised beds, I don't know too much. I'll throw in certain types of fertilizer, lobster and crab, and then,
What? Lobster?
Yeah, the calcium.
Calcium, yeah.
Like a whole freaking lobster you throw in there?
No. I throw a whole fish in there, but.
Oh, yeah, fish are great. It's like, that's what we grew, we heard about growing up. The Indians used to throw
fish in the bottom of the tomato plant. Maybe. Yeah,
and I swear by that.
Get it down like 18 inches, so the roots, by the time they get down there, they can actually adhere to it and actually
chicken
work
eggs,
with it. Won't kill
the shells of the chicken eggs.
Sometimes I think that's BS.
The fish?
Like, no. Oh, the Native Americans helped the pilgrims, and they threw a fish in.
Oh, I don't know that.
That
story, but it's like, true about the fish.
Oh, the fish does work pretty good.
I swear by that.
The thing is, though, you got to plant it deep enough. When that plant's a baby, it's not going to be able to suck up those nutrients. It'll probably kill it. But if you plant it deep enough, you wait till those roots get down to that thing start to break down, then yes, it will work.
Just like chicken manure. You got to put that on your gardens in the fall because of the methane.
Yep.
So you got to let it sit for 3-4 months.
See, I throw all the chicken poop in my compost. I cold compost.
Oh, yeah.
I just do a heap of thing and let it break down. That's and then in the spring, I dig a hole into the post and into the compost and then just take from the middle. Usually it's good. And then I till it all in.
Yep.
But, I mean, I get plants. It's just, like I said, the weeding, man.
The weeding sucks. I mean, we all can agree on that.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like anything. If you really want it, you have to. That's the price you pay. It sucks.
I think with the raised bench, it's a little bit more easier because it drains out quicker. You can mulch it to keep
You're not bending over.
Yeah, so it's a little bit better in that aspect. That's the only big difference I see about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, all right, let's move on because I got more questions. Because you guys have done a lot, not just gardening. I mean, meat production, your own meat through hunting. Foraging,
yep.
Fishing, and raising your own meat, like pigs.
Right.
Like, Ted, you did pigs. Well, yeah, he recently did. Yeah. I raised a pig last year, which was a complete pain in the ass.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
It's some work.
I mean, I love it. Right now, I have a freezer full of pork.
Yeah.
But the work that goes in, the cost, pig eat you out of house and home.
Yeah, because your compost goes to them. And like, you don't have compost for the garden.
Oh, my God.
I had a on my calendar, like, when can I kill these pigs?
Do they have to be?
Please, God, I think they're big enough. I just want it over. End the torture. But I did it wrong. I did it at somebody else's house.
Yep.
Because they offered, they were raising pigs. They're like, you want to throw a pig in? I was like, yeah, I'll feed. You have them here. And, and it's just, that's a mistake. You know, I made a mistake. Whatever.
That's the gardening, too. We all make mistakes.
Yeah, you're gonna make mistakes, and you got to learn from it and keep going. That's why I'm like, I'm enjoying the product right now. Bacon. Because
you created it. Yeah.
Yeah, Taylor ham or pork roll, depending on wherever the hell you are. I'm in North Jersey, so it's goddamn Taylor ham.
Hell yeah.
I will fight you. I'll fight you over it.
Yep.
So, Taylor ham, sausage, pounds and pounds. The
sausage was amazing.
Like, the feeling of being like, I kind of want bacon today. And then there it is. I don't have to prepare and go to the store and buy bacon. I just go to the freezer and be like, boom,
that's the best thing about homesteading. It's all there for you. When you have it, you put the time in and did it, you have it.
And that's a huge point. Like, when you grow a garden, it's almost like, I'm going to be in the mood for all of this.
Right.
And I'm going to be prepared to enjoy all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't grow your garden and be like, God, in August, be like, I wish I did this. Or like, I'm in the mood for this.
No.
But it's not in the garden.
You got to think ahead. Gardening's like that,
I'm always like, what do we eat the most of?
Well, yeah.
Of course you're going to grow the most of, yes.
Potatoes and
everybody's taste is different, but whatever.
Yeah, and plus I grow friggin' great tomatoes.
Jersey tomatoes,
I'll put my tomatoes up against anybody. I can accidentally grow amazing tomatoes.
I grow all mine, and I process all mine, can all mine. Yep.
My aroma growing's been stepped up in the last few years, but...
Jersey tomatoes, we love our tomatoes here.
Yeah, but, so back to the pork, like, what was my point? So, what did you find? What challenges did you raise them at home?
Yes, at home throughout the winter. That was my whole big situation.
Oh, that was cold.
Yeah, I did the overwinter.
That must have been fun.
It was about 150 feet from my house.
You sorry son of a bitch.
I remember when you got them.
Yeah.
I totally forgot.
Yep.
You did those overwinter.
Yep, 5:30 in the morning, I was out there with one of those stretchy hoses. I bought a 150 foot just to get down there to water them because... My water tower I made worked up until it got to, constant below 32. So at that point, it was 2 5-gallon buckets. That got old, so it came down to getting that hose for $40 and running down there.
You got to get this. I got a water thaller.
I don't have power down there either.
Yeah, but you can get them solar.
Solar, yeah.
Well, the trees are getting cut down soon.
Oh, yeah.
They were amongst
trees.
All my woods in the back, which I'm working on to open
but
that up.
It doesn't take much solar. Like, you get a little light, man.
It's like the chicken water dethaw.
Yeah. Yeah. Same thing.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yep. They also have the
yeah, for my chickens, it's fine.
The horse
I have
ones.
The lights,
yeah. With the copper wire.
Just like the greenhouse stands, you can get them on there also.
For my goat water, I thaw it with that.
Yep. Yeah. Solar power?
Yeah.
No, I don't have one because I, you know.
Oh, you got the power right there.
Yeah.
Right. Is it the horse one that you submerge right into the bucket?
I don't know. The solar one?
No, the one that you use.
Yeah, you submerge it.
Yeah.
It goes right in, just keeps it toasty. Well,
yeah, so it probably stays around 40 degrees.
Well, goats don't really like hot water, though.
Right.
Like, you can't have it hot, so you have to, like, let it cool. You got to take it out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, goats are kind of finicky, man. Goats really? Are kind of.
But I heard they eat everything.
Yeah, they eat everything. Yeah, they eat everything, then die. That's what they'll do. Yeah. They're like, oh, I'll eat this. Great. This will kill me. And yeah, enjoy that. No, goats, they will eat everything, but they shouldn't eat everything.
No. Not that smart.
So over winter pork, man. See, I didn't want to do that.
That's a lot of food.
I know the smell. I go to my mother-in-law's, and there's a lot of pig farms and chickens. I was like, I know they stink. So I didn't want to stink out my neighbors first time running this. I didn't know if I'm allowed to half like a pig, to tell you the truth. So I ran with it. And
it's America. You can.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you can't. My buddy Mark in the middle of Rockaway can't have chickens.
That's America.
you can't put a stock of a gun on TikTok.
Oh, that's apparently. Right. Yeah. And we're supposed to be in America.
Yep. Yeah, you get booted for that. Mm-hmm. So what, the smell? How was the smell in the winter? Probably better.
I did barely even notice it.
As long as the wind doesn't blow.
No, it really wasn't that bad. I had two of them. They had a small pen, so they didn't get a lot of moving around. They didn't want them to build too much muscle. Feed, it's not a bad walk, but the worst was the water. I didn't have the heaters down there. It was too much woods, too much. I couldn't do nothing about it, so I was just running the water.
You know what? I think a lot of people don't realize is how hard water is.
It can be.
Like, for goats, food's not bad. Oh, you know, I got a big pasture. Food's not bad.
Yep.
Pigs.
They eat a lot. That's the problem. But
pigs will eat just about
anything.
But then water. Getting water to animals daily is a goddamn chore.
Yes,
it's
a chore. I still
do that. Is the hardest thing.
It is such a chore.
You got to do it every day.
Yeah, every day. And I don't care if you're using buckets, a hose. I don't care if the water is right next to the water trough. It's pain in the ass.
Yes.
From water freezing, water evaporating and turning green, somebody shit in the water,
every time.
And a chicken died in the water,
yep.
And something's going on with the, every it's day. It's water. The Some water. It. Nobody discusses it, man. Like,
no, that's true.
When you're talking livestock, nobody's talking about water.
That's not really. Yeah, that's weird.
No.
I never thought about it.
Everybody talks about food. Everybody talks about feed. Yep. How much hay? How much of this?
Yep. Which is giving, because you're grown. You know they're going to be doing that, but.
But the pain in the ass is water.
Yep. Find mice in it once in a while.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, constantly. It's water is the thing you have to look at first when you're going to do a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They're just like humans. They need that water to be healthy.
Fresh.
Yeah.
How often do you go out to a water trough and see these stupid mosquitoes?
All over.
Oh, I've
got to dump it
throughout the summer. Yeah.
It's I just filled it.
Can't put a drop of bleach into that, but are you going to do that every day to your animals? No, I'm not going to. You're better off dumping it and refilling it.
Yeah. And, my goats will drink out of a friggin' mud puddle. Not, you know, like, yeah, I don't want them to, but
all animals.
You can have fresh water, and then they'll be over there in a mud puddle hey, look at me getting worms. Hey, did you buy Wormer this month? Because you're going to need it. Because I think this mud puddle's tasty. Yeah, it's unbelievable. But how good was the pork?
Everything was perfect, except for I didn't really know how to make bacon at that point. And I screwed up double twice on this because when I made my bacon, I made it way too salty. And then what I didn't know is you only had to do is soak the salt out of it before you ate it. So I wasted a lot of it, you know, trying to put a little piece of bacon in this, add some salt to this, and ate some salty and have an extra beer or whatever. But I didn't know what I was doing. My first time ever making bacon. So I kind of ruined a lot of bacon at first.
Yeah.
But all the sausage came out immaculate, steaks, everything was great.
I right now what I'm dealing with is I have a 50-pound block of pig fat in my freezer that's taking up a lot of room.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to do with it.
Time to get another freezer.
I want to render it to lard.
Yes, definitely, because you can that.
But it's a 50-pound block. Do I thaw it all at the same time? What do I do?
Well,
I've never made lard.
No, but I mean, you get a bunch of jars and can it, and then that'll last for years.
Canning it would be a good idea. Yeah. You could always because you don't need refrigeration. Out when you need it. Yeah.
So let's talk canning.
Okay. Can we take a break? Or
yeah, I gotta go pee.
You're gonna work up. You're getting a little worked up over canning.
Yeah. Now I am.
All right. Yeah. Let's take a break. I think we could do that. What? How long have we been going live?
Half hour or 40 minutes, something like
really?
That.
Really?
Yeah, something like that.
I feel like that.
I thought we were going to be banned, you know, kicked off.
I thought we'd be kicked off of Instagram. Yeah, way before.
Yeah, I'm so like that's the only reason I know.
Yeah, Instagram's minutes. Like, oh, a gun stock? Sure, let them go. TikTok's like, no live for you. We think you guys are going to start selling firearms on our platform. Exactly. So we're going to take a break. I'm not sure how to take a break, to tell you the truth.
You have
turn down the volume.
Do I have a pause?
Turn down the volume. That'd be good enough.
I can turn down the volume of the mics, and I'm going to try and play music, but I don't think the music plays. So stay here. We're going to take a short break, and I'm going to play some music. Maybe.
Guess I've been blessed with good luck and fortune. All that I have is more than enough. I've tried to work hard, but it ain't been easy. But compared to most, it ain't been too rough. I've had it all, Lord knows I'm thankful. The life that I lead is some kind of dream.
Christmas one's there, nice.
I got and we're back. We're back. We're back. All make loud noises. So you guys don't have headphones. You can't just.
I'm bringing my own next time.
Me too.
Yeah, you guys.
Earbuds work?
You guys need some ear. Yeah, I think so. We need a, but I need a headphone switcher.
Is there a Bluetooth on that?
But I don't know what that means.
I do have a headphone block. I got like how did,
what it says Bluetooth, but what does it connect to? I don't understand. Maybe I could go live just through Bluetooth. I have no idea. So we're back. We were talking about canning, but food preservation in general. Right, like you know, because you could you brought some stuff.
Yes,
that
dried
is meat.
Yes, this is a pork tenderloin that was salted and cured for a little over two months
in a
fridge. Yeah, you can do other like cold storage whatnot, but I don't know if you can see it, but it turned out really dark, but it's very, very tasty.
God, that does not look good.
We need a chopping block and a knife. So when you're ready.
Ted, there's knives over there. I got cutting boards over there. You want to grab one?
I see one you just had right there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, nice. Yeah, did that. This is my first time of doing this.
Oh, yeah. We got a fancy one. I got a fancy cutting board.
So preserving meats.
I want to scrape the dust off. Here, this side. That looks good. That's
all right. So no epoxy on this.
No, it's all just natural. All natural. A little too natural.
Yeah. There's a nice... But that's what we do here, you know? Yeah, it's all natural. But yeah.
Let me see that. Can I touch it?
Yeah.
We're going to eat that. Yes. We're going to eat that?
So basically what I seasoned it with was black pepper, paprika, and garlic. So this is a form of capricola from Italy.
Dude, that smells good.
Right? You should have smelt it when I first did it. It was beautiful.
God, if they could make cologne out of that, I'd wear that.
Yeah, it's good.
Wow, that smells good. Smell that.
Oh, I did, yeah.
Yeah, he tried it.
It's freaking amazing.
It doesn't look good, though.
No.
It looks like very old meat. Holy crap.
So sold. I'll be making some of this soon.
Wait, explain this to me again. So, I don't want the end piece. I don't know where that's been.
So 16 hours.
Can I get you in there and show it a little bit?
I don't even know if they can see.
Yeah, hard to get in there.
Yeah, it's dark. So 16 hours in natural sea salt from Utah. And then you rinse it off, season it, and then wrap it up in a stretch bag and put it in your fridge for 2 to 3 months. And this was actually 63 days in the fridge.
Oh, wow.
So this is my first attempt of doing this.
Oh, wow.
Now, this is pork tenderloin. They said, yeah, it's okay. My true Capricorn or Capricola is still curing. So next podcast or whatever.
What's the other one? Beef or what?
Pork. No, it's still pork, but it's a true Capricola as they make it in Italy.
Why? What's that mean? Not tenderloin?
The cut of meat. It's not the tenderloin. It's, I forget, it's part of the shoulder.
That's so weird. So this is just sitting in your fridge.
For months on end.
For months.
Yeah. Right next to the Over beer. 2 months, yeah.
That was fresher.
This is how they did it before refrigeration. Everything was cured by salt.
Salt.
That's so wild, man.
So you drinking at the bars, your old taverns. Have a slice of this and keep drinking.
You've had this. I'm not going to die from this.
Well, we're still alive, and we had it about like 3 hours ago.
Okay, about 3 days ago. Is this the first time you've had it?
Yeah. First time I made it and first time I had it was
I watched him cut the bag open and everything.
Oh, God. Well, I'm in it with you guys.
So you're 3 hours behind us. So yeah. If we drop dead, you know.
I got 3 hours to live.
Get somewhere quick.
It tastes amazing. I can't believe I'm eating meat that's been in a fridge for months.
It sounds there. Like this, it's really disgusting, but, you know, I buy this stuff at the supermarket, you know, whether it's a prosciutto or any of those things.
I'll do that down to some of the old Italian delis. I buy stuff like this just because you can't get it anywhere else.
So say you throw that on a slicer, though. That's like lunchroom, right?
Oh, yeah. Big time. I do use that when I buy it at the supermarket. Yeah. If I had a slicer, I would.
It tastes good.
Yeah. Excellent. And now with your goats, you make a cheese out of it and add that with this. Oh, man.
Go milk a goat.
Yeah.
I don't want to milk them. That's the problem.
You got to get the babies first. Oh, no.
Have you ever done it?
About $800, you can get a machine.
Okay. Yeah, I milked them.
$800, get the machine.
Oh, God. God, it's every day. You think water is a pain in the ass? Milking goats is a pain in the ass.
You got to stay on it or they're going to dry up.
No. I want nothing to do with it. I mean, if I have to, that's why I have them.
Yeah.
That's why I have dairy goats. Because if I have to,
you got milk.
Like tomorrow, I wake up and the supermarket is shut down. I'm either gonna burp or throw up right now.
Well, I mean, that's homesteading because the supermarket has only been around for what, 60, 80 years?
Maybe a bit now.
Not much. Wow. But if that goes out, the economy collapses, what do we have? Homesteading, you have it.
Well, that's what I think. I think we're at the point where if the supermarket shut down tomorrow.
Like in 2020 in a sense.
Like COVID bullshit.
Yeah, exactly.
If I don't think there's you know how many people would die?
Oh.
There'd be so many dead people.
Yeah. And the worst about it, hungry people do stupid stuff, crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah, supermarkets, the bloodline.
Yeah, if my kids are hungry, they do stupid shit.
Yeah.
They start screaming.
Right.
At me.
Yeah. And now parents that want to feed their kids are going to do stupider stuff.
To feed their kids?
Yeah. I'll do a lot to shut my hungry kid up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a no-win situation for a lot of people, especially the farmers, local farmers. Imagine that.
No.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I have dairy goats, because tomorrow. Supermarket shuts off.
That's something. You have something.
I don't keep them in milk.
You can get them in milk, though.
I got to wait a couple months, then I'll pregnant goat, and then she'll be in milk.
But this, back to this stuff, that's why it's important to do this stuff, because, if you learn how to do it and shit like that happens,
meat's for
yourself.
That doesn't even taste salt. Give me one more slice of that.
Yeah, have one, man.
If you're going to go, you're going to go, right?
And then, all right, so we're doing meat. Anything else on meats? Because, I know you're a real big hunter.
I would love to do that with a venison loin.
Yeah, definitely. It's salt, 16 hours or 3 days or 7 days or whatever.
Yep, I did mine with seven, but like I said, it was over-salty. I didn't know what I was doing. I used pink salt, the curing salts. I've tried it a couple different ways.
To do this?
No, I haven't made this. Like I said, my experience was in bacon. I do want to get into this. I've looked into this very little bit. I just haven't done it yet, pretty much.
Fucking nailed it.
Thank you.
Nailed it.
Well, venison, whatever you want. My next thing is going to be steak. T-bone steak or something.
Yep.
Do a whole something.
Yeah, now that I know I can do it and people like it.
Yeah, but that's a small cut of meat, right? A pork tenderloin is pretty small.
Small, yeah.
Good to practice on that.
Now it's stuck in my teeth. Kind of
grossing me out. Now, what about a jerky? Have you made a venison jerky?
Yeah, tons of it.
Exactly. I mean, that's just another way to be self reliant or whatever.
I got something in my tooth now, though.
Smile for the camera.
I guess, if the apocalypse hits, that's half the fun. It gives you something to do. Sit there and pick fat out of your teeth.
It's so true.
Zombie apocalypse.
Take a little walk.
Try to water your chickens.
Yeah, so I've made jerky with the dehydrator and just like that.
Okay. Yep.
And then
that's what I've done.
I've made it in the oven before.
I've done that.
I kind of like that a little better in the oven, where it's kind of still has that chew to it.
Right, a little moisture in it.
Yeah. But then last year what I made was I guess it'd be Slim Jims.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
With the sausage sticks?
So I made sausage sticks at, I think, like a 16 millimeter, maybe smaller, 7 millimeter. I don't know.
For the casing or whatever?
Yeah, the casing.
Okay.
And then dehydrated it and then smoked it. No, I smoked it and then dehydrated it.
And that takes a long time, dehydrating anything.
That, no.
No?
After I smoked it.
Oh, yeah, after you smoked it. Yeah, all right, yeah.
After I smoked it, I dehydrated it, and it was only not, it wasn't long at all.
All right, so dehydrating, I've got these habaneros that I gave to Kurt.
What do we do, put it on one of these?
You can, if you want, upset so stomach.
What is that? That's a dehydrated habanero.
Habanero.
What do you have it in? Like, is there a seasoning on that?
No, nothing. That's just all, just, they were orange, and I dehydrated them for, I think, around 12 to 16 hours. That's why I was saying it takes a long time to dehydrate. Let's see, so.
Open that bag up.
I
feel like that looks like weed.
Right. But you can rehydrate these. Put them in not boiling water, but really hot water for about like, I think, an hour or 3 hours.
God, man, that's a work of art.
Right?
Right.
Yeah, it looks like something you blew on glass or something.
Why is that like glassy? Why does it look like that?
Well, I mean, peppers have that waxy
outer tone. Yeah.
Yeah. So... But, I mean, these are, they can be dangerous. I had a friend that we're all acquaintance of, but I'm not going to mention anybody's name. But they added two of them to their chili, and they were adding two of them to their chili, and they couldn't put enough sour cream on it to kill the heat.
So what do? You crush this up into a powder?
You can do that. I just throw mine in my chili and let it dissolve.
This whole deal?
Yeah. Yeah,
because I make a Colorado chili, which is just blended up rehydrated poblanos and
those are only 300 Scoville. This is, I think, is 50,000 Scoville. I love the poblano.
Poblanos are really great.
I love it. Yeah, but they're only 300.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not hot. They have warmth to them. They're not hot.
300 to 600. Yeah.
So this I doubt I'll cook with.
Well, yeah.
If you're making a big pot of chili, yes.
No, I don't mind. I don't mind spicy at all.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's the problem. Yeah. If I'm the only one eating spice, how much can I make?
Yeah. My my neighbors actually gave me. I should give you guys some of that. You want some spice?
Yeah.
It's ghost peppers.
I've had my experience with ghosts.
They.
no. It's like the cutoff point for enjoyable.
Literally, yeah. I took like a pinky dot and just. It's a powder.
And numbs your tongue. And numbs forever. It. Yeah. Well, numbed my tongue.
Yeah, so she made like a powder, and I just dipped my pinky and just like tip of my tongue.
Right.
And ruined me.
Yep.
I was like, who eats 3 hours? That?
What do you use that for? Like, unless you're feeding 100 guys and you just need a little bit.
I couldn't imagine where you would use that ghost pepper.
And imagine a step up, Carolina Reaper. You know,
everybody's that's a doing step the, up, Carolina.
Well, not a step Reaper. Up, aren't like
the
more.
Same? Ghost pepper and Carolina, they're not the same?
No. The Scovilles are a lot higher on a Carolina. Because everybody's doing those.
Crack that open. Let's taste that.
What?
Right? What do you do with it?
I add it to soups and
chili. Yeah, you're going to eat like that. Wow.
No, but something. Let's take a taste test.
Let's try the seeds.
Yeah, that's the hottest part.
Ted'll crush those up. Oh, Jesus, man. You're throwing habaneros at me. All right, that's good. Like something like that. Let's try that. That can't be hot, right? That's no seeds. That's no. I'm gonna crunch that up. That's not. Oh, that. Oh, okay.
That's it.
Yeah.
Let me get a beer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to just put this back in the bag. Yeah, so I think that's enough.
That's enough. I got my taste. Wow. Yeah.
So now you know. So whatever you want to use this for. I haven't grown these in like 3 years because I had so many of them and I gave them
more. You know, actually, it's not that. It's not that bad.
Right, but if you add like two of them to the chili, it might be too much. Add one. You can always rehydrate them. I don't know how that is. I haven't tried it.
Yeah, I actually like that flavor. That's pretty good.
I love the flavor of it, like especially when they put it on those the almond nuts and whatnot. They're not that spicy. They're just a good flavor.
A little spicy.
Yeah.
Not terrible, though. A little bit.
Mm-hmm. Now, these seeds, I don't think you can plant because they've been baked.
They've been baked.
Yeah, almost positive.
But you can throw them in your chili.
That's one thing. So I had no idea. Apple seeds and like cherry seeds, they actually have to freeze first before they'll
dormant.
There's a certain bunch of seeds like that.
Yeah. Slices, garlics need the dormant hours. Blueberries need dormant hours. There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I froze some cherry seeds, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, that keeps going.
Hey, last time he gave me some.
Yeah, that'll keep going. But it's not bad.
This is good, though. I like this.
But the heat from that, it's not terrible. It's a little, it'll just keep staying.
Yeah.
It's not going anywhere.
No.
It's like, I'm on your tongue now. I own this tongue.
Need some more meat.
Yeah, that's what I thought. A little something, a little wash down, a little chew down.
Well, I also got a homemade mead also.
That is
honey, what? Honey wine.
Man.
So not only this.
See, you guys don't even know how cool you are in the homesteading world. Because you don't, do you like follow homesteading anything?
I do a couple, not like religiously. Once in a while I catch a Amish guy and his wife doing it, but not. And a guy from Australia, but that's about it.
Yeah, you guys need to like get on social media, like the homesteading world, because what you guys have been doing since you were kids, there's a whole freaking world, man.
Worldly, yeah. Well, the problem is we're so busy gardening and doing a homestead, we can't watch that shit.
So that's mead?
Yes, honey mead infused with black cap.
Hold on, because
black raspberry.
Like you guys are like a part two episode where I bring you back for what we're about for to get into.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because you started home brewing.
Yeah, we both did.
At I don't know, 20 something.
I don't even fucking know. Sorry.
Yeah. I don't even know.
2010, 11, 12, something like that.
Even further back.
Maybe.
Yeah, probably further back.
No, because we, when we did the movies, it was right after that, I think. Right?
It was, I mean, was it was during? Before I worked for my job. I've been 13 years already at.
Right.
And so it has to be 15 to 20 years ago. I'm not sure exactly when.
So you guys brought this up to me that you were going to start homebrewing. I was like, why? You could just go buy it. Like, that was me. I was like, why sure, would you?
Yeah.
Why?
That's. Just go
what was the old thing we used to say? Why would I do all that work if I could just buy 100 years of brewing for $6.99 or a six pack?
Just like broccoli and carrots, yeah.
Yeah, you know? But now I'm like, oh, now I get it.
Because now we know how to do it.
Who God knows what they're putting in that 100 years of brewing that's been sold to 15 corporations that Anheuser-Busch has a stake in.
How do you make it quicker, faster,
Anheuser-Busch has their agenda.
Let's experiment on them and see what happens.
Yeah. What if we just put our excess fentanyl in just a little touch?
Yeah, right. The pharmaceutical industry is going to help us out on this campaign, and we help them out on this campaign. We're all good.
Let's just sprinkle this with a little bit of that.
That'll all guinea pigs. It,
right?
Yeah, it's sure.
So you guys started home brewing, and you started with beer.
Yeah, beer, and then we ventured a little bit of wine.
Tried everything else after that. Yeah, beer. Why not? Was the hardest one. We knocked
well, that was the crazy part. So you started with beer, and some of them weren't great.
No.
Lost a few of them.
Well, it's just like a garden, you know. Some years, you know, when you're starting out, they just die. But
well, one day you were like, try this beer. And I tasted it. And you were like, you ever had a sour beer? And I was like, oh, God, what the hell was that?
That's a bad beer. Not commercial, you'll never have a bad beer.
Yeah, you'll get to the market.
Yeah.
So that was god awful.
Yes.
Beer can be bad if it's wrong.
Sour, or it tastes like cardboard, like wet cardboard.
Yeah, banana's not moldy. A good flavor in there, but usually.
But then you gave me a beer that was probably the best beer I ever had. Probably the best. I don't even, And you've since told me that you didn't write the recipe down, and it was just I was
We did that quite a bit in the beginning, you know.
But well, in the beginning, I think we took some decent records, but then when we got going a little bit outside, we just kind of started kinda doing it, and then we got the Gear used Smith, to it, and then we started keeping more records.
Right. But it's hard to keep the same recipe. It never tastes the same.
Well, that was probably the best beer I ever had. I don't even know what you called it. It was some sort of ale.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe, I don't know.
Christmas ale I made one time. I don't know what.
Yeah, we did it for years.
Yeah.
But then, and then it got crazier. Ted started, is that legal? That we could, it's not
I did all that in Pennsylvania.
Oh, he did that out of state.
I did that at my buddy's house.
So you can't
making wines and boxes and everything. Oh, yeah, we did that too.
Wait, you can't home do that?
No, you can get licensing for it. I
believe. What about a certain amount?
No.
No? It's a zero?
Illegal here, yeah.
You're only allowed to brew, I think, roughly 200 gallons a year.
A beer. A homebrew.
Yeah, just a beer. Yeah.
And what about whiskey? You're not allowed to make whiskey?
No, you can't make whiskey. You can make wine. That's distilling. They want you to have a license for that because it is dangerous. You don't know what you're doing. Yes. I mean, you could kill yourself. Yes.
What about in Pennsylvania?
I believe you're allowed to do up to a certain amount. Don't quote me on that, because I know you can buy stills over there and stuff. I've seen them in their brew stores.
Yeah.
So I don't know exactly how the law is. I know Jersey, you can't buy still.
So you weren't in Jersey when you...
When I learned how to do this, no. I learned it from Pennsylvania, yes.
When you learned how to moonshine.
Yes.
But it's not. It wasn't moonshine, right? What is moonshine?
Well, yeah, I'd be outside still made under the moon was moonshine. I mean, you have like a white lightning, which is just like sugar.
But so this is where I had no idea whiskey was distilled beer.
No.
No, that's not true?
Beer would have its hops in it, where whiskey, you're not going to hop it. So you're...
Oh, so the mash, like
the mash you make from it, yes.
And just so mash is when you boil
the grains,
corn, you steep barley. Them in
certain temperatures to get the sugars. Everything's a little bit different. Depends on what you're trying to
and
do.
Then once you get that mash, before you hop it,
hopping's for preserving it. It's a natural
preservative for the beers.
That's why you don't need it in whiskey, because
has so much alcohol in it, you don't need a preservative.
So that mash, that's what you would distill?
Distill to condense it down into a stronger form, because you're going to get that, whatever yeast you have is going to get it to a certain percentage, and from there you got to condense it down so it's 80, 90 proof per se, you know?
And that's where, when you were in Pennsylvania and did that... That's where I thought it started getting crazy, because you started building contraptions.
Yes.
Which were freaking genius.
That's what we do on the homestead.
But
build our own. I can't hear your mind.
But you taught me that, like, the whiskey thing, and then the cognac was like wine.
Well, yeah, cognac's going to be more your fruit. That's cognac's usually from a grape, which you'd have your liquors or your, liquors.
Liqueur.
Would be more of your fruits and everything.
I never did that. But.
Tequila is from the mezcal plant, right? Or no,
yeah,
the
cactus. Yeah, guava.
Rum is going to be from your
mescaline.
No,
it's from a different.
What'd you guys give me?
Well, give me a couple of shot glasses. We could try some.
You want to try some mead? So talk to me about mead, though. We didn't even get into mead yet.
It's just a honey wine. We both done it. A lot of honey, water. I forget the ratio. It's like three parts honey and mead water.
It's a lot of honey, though. It's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's honey, water, and yeast. That's it.
And you can add stuff to it.
Yeah.
That's like what the Vikings used to make, right?
Yes. Egyptians, Vikings, the honey was always that. It's probably how they learned how to ferment, was the honey fermented, and they were like, oh, wow.
So you want to do some shot glass? I got to turn around for that.
Okay. Infuse this with our local plant, which we call around here Black Caps, which is a black raspberry.
Yes.
So, Black Caps. And this is about 15 months old. Young, but.
See my shot glasses. So that's not
quite. Teeth in your shot glasses.
Yeah, there's teeth in there. So my shot glass doesn't actually. It's not a shot glass. It's more of a. So, you guys have you guys drank at this bar yet?
No.
So
yes, once.
These teeth. Once.
You had this built.
These aren't teeth. These are actually ivory. You have this on it. These are elk ivories from the elk eye shop.
Oh, in Arizona.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. I keep them in this glass, and we were hanging out here partying, and we forgot to remove the teeth or the ivories.
Mm.
So we started doing shots with them, and then it's become known as the teeth shot.
Okay.
They're kind of like
teeth, is it?
They're like ice cubes. No, they're like right. ice cubes. They're actually elk teeth that are like ice cubes. So if you guys want to try one of those,
I don't care.
You leave it right in. I mean, it's in elk.
I can't eat it.
You could probably chew.
Might go to the dentist tomorrow, but
I've done. You just fed me old meat that's been in a fridge for months.
Yep,
and a habanero. I can at least give you a shot glass that has some teeth in it.
That's true. That's true. Well, here, let me get
a shot of that. This is blackberry. Oh blackberry my meat. God! Look at the color on that.
Yeah. So I want you to try it first. It's your show. So
yeah.
Wow,
that smells.
Yeah, I mean, I wish it was like 2-3 years old.
Yeah, but, it gets better in time.
But
it does.
I, doing this show, I'm like, I
got to
bring
some. How old is it?
It's about 13, 14 months old, maybe 15 months old. I think I did this last year in August or 2 years ago. In August of 22.
I can't do math. I only got one of those bottles left that I finally made 10 years.
It smells very strong.
It's probably like 13% because, I mean, it's a honey wine. So what's wine? Wine's 12, 13, 14.
Yeah, usually.
Yeah.
It smells very strong.
That's good.
I mean, what kind of yeast you use? Champagne?
Champagne yeast. You did use yeast. Yes.
So that could be up there in like the 16 to 20 percentile. You never know.
Wait, it's a sipping one.
Oh, a sip. As I guzzle it down, it's a sip.
Oh, no.
Wow, it's delicious, though. Like, that was good.
And you taste the black caps and everything, right?
Holy shit, that's good.
Thank you.
Wow.
The biggest problem with making that is buying the honey.
Yeah, because
honey's easy, though.
Honey's great, but it's expensive. And growing your own, you got to have a huge
beehive. My God, how much do you have of that?
Of this? Not too much anymore. I'm making some maybe tomorrow.
Good God.
But it's just like wine. You have to let it sit for over,
the better, yeah,
over a year.
Yeah.
Dude, you try that?
Have I tried this one?
No.
A hit of that. That is freaking good. That tastes like honey and wine.
Oh,
I gotta grab,
buddy. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Honey, wine, and black cap and blackberries.
The black caps like really stand out.
It doesn't smell like that. It smells strong.
Does it?
But it tastes like syrup. Like, not syrup. Like, it's just really sweet.
Not bad. That's one of the better ones.
Honey wine.
It's delicious. Good job.
Thank you.
I haven't even checked any comments. Anybody saying anything?
It's just a wave.
Oh, enjoy. Canning. Can you do a podcast on canning? Well, we were going to get into canning.
Yeah. We still have time.
We have time.
Canning. It's new to me. He's done it a lot more than me.
I'm going to get into it this year.
I've gotten into it. We just got our first pressure cooker.
Yeah, there's two
My
types
My wife
of it.
Has been doing baths.
Yeah, the water bath, and then there's pressure.
That's what I normally do. The pressure we just got into.
All right, so explain to me water baths. Water bath canning.
Water bath canning is just boiling water, and boiling water is 212 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yes.
And then depending on what you're cooking, you do it for 20 minutes or 40 minutes or an hour.
So
you can buy books with times and everything and look it up.
But so you fill your jars with whatever you're canning.
Yes. And however it's supposed to be.
But more importantly... with any food, to sterilize the jars. Make sure everything's clean.
Boil
before
it first.
You put
it
in. Yeah.
Take it start out. Start me there. I have to sterilize.
Sterilize all the jars.
Cleanliness and everything. Brewing, canning, everything. Always be clean about food. Gotta be clean.
Then you cook your food or whatever you're going to put in it. You put in it, cover it up, put it in the water, boil it for 20 minutes to 40 minutes. Tomatoes are, I think, 40 minutes. And then you take them out, and then the top seal, and then that stays good for 5 years.
There's different tops you could buy too. I mean, there's pop tops. There's vacuum sealable tops. Now it's a different game. Back in the day, you just had basically the pop top ones.
So if I, like a vacuum seal, do I have to water bath that too?
I don't know. I've never used one.
You know, I mean, what I do with like rice or dried beans, I put it in the jars and then I take the vacuum sealer and take all the air out of it.
That's that little contraption goes over the can and zzz, just like when I do like cuts of meat in the bag.
Yeah, in the bag, but this is
a jar vacuum sealer. I've not yet used that yet.
You can put air absorbers in it or oxygen absorbers in it, whatever. But that's what I do with dry goods. And that will stay for 10, 20, 30 years. If you're just doing, let's say, tomato sauce, which I do a lot of. You make your tomato sauce, season it, make it taste good. Throw it in your, or sterilize your jars, throw it in the jars, put it in your water bath, and boil that for a hard 40 minutes. Take them out, let them cool down, and the tops will seal. And then that's good for, the taste quality is good for at least 3 years. But it will last for 7 years. Maybe.
That is water bath.
Yes.
And then pressure.
Pressure cooking is for your meats and your potato, your root crops, potatoes, beets. You need to do that in a pressure cooker to kill all the bacteria.
But what if I do like a, what if it's like a pickled beet?
Yeah, you got to do a pressure canner. Any root crops.
Pickling it?
Because it comes from the dirt.
Yeah, so you want to kill all that. If you're going to eat it within like a week or two,
it and you're going to be eating it right away, you don't have to do none of that. But preserving it on the long term,
long term, like even a month. If you're not going to eat it for a month, either store it in your fridge or pressure cook it. So botulism.
So if I pressure cook, botulism goes down. Botulism
yeah,
risk.
Right. It's supposed to, yeah. Yeah, because I mean, it's at 112 degrees, it doesn't kill everything. So that's why you need a pressure cannon.
You can get it up higher.
Yeah, especially with meat. And with meat, it's 90 minutes if you're going to pressure can meat.
It's got to be in there for 90 minutes.
Yeah, it's a pain in the ass.
Yep, 11 pounds, minutes. Right?
Yeah, 11 pounds for our altitude, yeah. 11 pounds for 90 minutes. Any meat, fish, poultry, yeah.
So that was something. I didn't even know you could can meat until I met Ted. Yeah. Ted had a can of canned salmon that you guys got from
from Uncle Tom.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
yeah, he used to bring that down. Yeah. The pickles.
I just did that myself. Stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it did not look good.
No, it never does.
But oh, my God.
And it did not look edible. I was
addicted to that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Ted was eating it like it was
candy. Oh,
it's like sardines or anchovies or whatever.
Oh, I used to eat it all. When Tom brought that down, I would grab a jar and run.
But the trick is to find out how to do what they do in the corporate, facilities and do it yourself.
Like what?
Well, like canning like meat.
Because they do that. That's why a can of tuna, right?
Yeah. How do they get in there and why is it like that? Well, figure it out and do it yourself. And now you're self-reliant.
Yeah. And that's what we're all trying to get to.
Yep. Right. So, yeah, the whole canning thing, it takes time. Trial and error, like everything else.
Not everything's going to be good. You're going to end up putting something back to your compost pile. It does happen.
And that's the best thing, because if it doesn't work, put it in your compost, it goes back into the garden.
Not so much the meat.
You're not wasting anything.
Not the meat, but everything else pretty much. So we do a lot of canning vegetables.
You can do the meat, but you got to be careful with the animals.
I don't throw too much of that in there.
Yeah, neither do I, but you can.
Yeah, the meat is not entry level, I don't think.
No.
Right?
No.
So entry level canning, water bath?
Yes.
Yes,
and it's easiest, and it's
and what tomato sauce?
Tomato sauce, pickled eggs. You can do
pickled eggs. Doesn't sound entry level.
Okay. another one. Everybody
pickled
does
eggplants.
This.
Pickles. Pickles themselves.
Just pickles.
Oh yeah, cucumbers, right?
Yeah, cucumbers, and you make your brine, and then throw that in there, and throw the cucumbers.
Salsas are great, very easy. You always grab your tomatoes, grow some cilantro. One thing I didn't know: cilantro. Cilantro is a early crop. Did you know that?
No.
I always thought about cilantro. It goes in salsa. Okay, it must be grown down in Mexico. It's a hot crop. No, you're supposed to be starting them now.
Yeah, you just told me that today. I'm like, okay.
I just learned this weeks ago.
I've grown it before,
and cilantro is grown from coriander. Right? Mm-mm. That's a coriander seed?
Vice versa.
Well, coriander is
the seeds from...
from cilantro.
Yeah. Yes, and what you make cumin out of, I think, right?
Cumin.
No.
Is it? No, it's
coriander.
Coriander, yeah.
Coriander grows in cilantro.
I believe so. If you let it go to seed, you usually use it before it goes to seed.
Where the hell does cumin come from? I don't like cumin.
Neither do I.
It's Randy, I use it
for certain things. Yeah, but I
use it in some stews, but
if I have people that are gonna like, if I'm making chili and I have people that like, because that's a flavor that
it's a different flavor.
Yeah, but it's a flavor that you recognize with Mexican cooking.
Dishes, yeah,
so okay. I only really use it when I'm cooking for other people.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. I want you to recognize that it's Mexican.
Right.
So
right.
I'll use a little cumin. But other than that.
You don't use it?
Yeah.
I don't use it a lot.
If I'm cooking for myself, no.
Right. Probably not.
But if I'm making a chili and I'm going somewhere, I'll use cumin so that you're like, oh.
Yeah, it's like a taste. Okay. It's beautiful. Right?
Because it's a flavor that.
It's a flavor. It's not a spice.
If you grew up like with it, spice. You would love it because you were fed to it at birth, not growing up with it like
but
us.
But even like if you're eating Mexican food and you don't taste it, you're gonna be like, something's off.
This is made by some guy. Wait,
but if a hint of it's there, you're gonna be like, this is great.
Yeah, yep.
This is so Mexican,
true. Right?
It's but authentic. To me, I'm like, I don't like it. It tastes like freaking
sawdust.
Feet. Like a
dirty. I don't know. It's dirty.
Yeah,
like
it's weird.
Tastes dirty.
Yeah,
right?
It does. Dirty. Sure. I don't like it.
I hate it. I hate that taste.
I mean, it does work with some stuff. Like, there's probably when I don't know what's in there and it's actually in there. Okay, it's working. You know, but that's got to be far and few between.
But I would like, so my palate, I'll eat a Cool Ranch Dorito and I'll tell you everything that's in there. I'm like, when I tasted cilantro in a Cool Ranch Dorito, it changed Cool Ranch Doritos for me.
That's in there?
I couldn't untaste cilantro once I tasted cilantro. <Yep. laughs> But I love cilantro. I'm not one of those people. Some people, like, they have that, like...
I hate
my wife's
first.
Like that. Yeah, she hates cilantro.
See, I did in the beginning, but now I love it.
So you could be genetically disposed to taste cilantro as soap, right?
Yeah, or that's wax. Yeah.
I guess it was. Yeah. It was something that I just...
But genetically, that your taste buds taste cilantro as soap.
Right.
Where I don't. I taste cilantro as... a delicious freaking herb that should be in salsa. Yeah. And if it's not in my salsa, then something's up.
Yeah, but, exactly.
Yeah, so I can taste cilantro. That probably, you know, I wonder what a Cool Ranch Dorito tastes like to those people. It must taste horrible.
Could be. Not really likes them. I like the Cool Ranch, but I don't like the red at all.
No. I mean, I'll eat them.
I will, but I don't like them. I don't go out of my way to buy them.
Which they're so bad for us as a human body.
No, chips alone.
Yep. Tastes good, but
Chris is like, let's get this back to Homestead. Me and Ted are like, man, when I want a chip, I'll eat a chip. But yeah, you should be. So, but that's my thing with this. So homesteading and growing your own food and finding your own food, it doesn't have to be all or nothing, you know, where...
Start small.
Well, you can start small, and that's where you are. Because all the food that every bite of food you take that you got yourself is a bite of food that you're taking away from that system.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean it doesn't mean you have to be totally out of that system.
No.
Doesn't mean you can never have a Big Mac again.
Moderation.
I hopefully never will, but.
But you can, like, you can eat that way. You can still. Yeah.
It would be twice as healthy because now you're eating healthy food with some junk now opposed to all junk.
Exactly. You don't have to eat all that shit. Or you can just do away with it all together.
That's what I've been trying to do personally. But that's my goal, you know, going back to the earth, all natural. That's my goal.
That's my goal, too. But I love Cool Ranch Doritos.
Sure. You know.
He goes great on Taylor ham, egg, and cheese.
I mean.
Can I homestead a Cool Ranch Dorito?
Well, you can learn how to make one
flour.
Yourself.
We got
to
start with making flour.
No, corn, man. It's got to be corn chip.
Mm-hmm. Well, corn flour. Yeah.
That's the goal of this podcast. We're gonna.
I did just buy him some corn. I got myself some.
I know there's cilantro.
Okay,
I'll break the spices down.
I'm up for that.
You don't even have to make ranch dressing. You even know
it's not. There's no fucking ranch in a Cool Ranch Dorito.
Well, the spices would be in it, right? No,
I don't know. Maybe some shit.
You ever try that? That ranch soda. It's god awful.
Frito Lay's was like, you know what's a cool name? What Cool Ranch. What color should we use? Blue.
It's funny because I don't even like ranch. I get blue cheese opposed to ranch dressing, but Cool Ranch is like the only chips I do eat when I do eat chips.
I love them.
I'm not a big fan of the Cool Ranch.
I'm not a big fan of chips at all, but the Cool Ranch.
I eat them almost every day, so I'm guilty of that.
Chris is like a homesteading
so
snob
bad for you.
He's like a homesteading snob where, dude, you didn't grow it? Fucking get out.
Yeah, well, are you making your own potato chips?
I have.
Oh, me too.
But the problem
eating
with
them every day.
No. Wait, I'm still doing what's corporate.
What's wrong with the potato chips? You got storage?
Oh, it's just a lot of work.
Anything you do yourself, storage is the biggest thing. Even beef jerky, what? 3 weeks?
You're better off making yourself a bag of chips every week than trying to make a shit.
But time.
Exactly. It all sucks.
But if I make a batch of jerky, it's not lasting 3 weeks.
Well, true. But if you keep it out on the counter for 3 weeks, there's mold on it.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Yeah.
So anything that you do yourself, like even this. God.
Dude, that reminds me of a couple years ago, my wife bought a giant bag of like meat sticks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I never saw that it had to be refrigerated. Mm-hmm. Just thinking, you know.
Sodium,
nitrates. Come on. Yeah. The hell's refrigeration needed?
Yeah, you don't need that.
And, dude, they went bad.
Like within a week?
No. It probably went bad within a week, but
I kept eating for another.
I kept on a trucking.
It's depressing. You hit the wall. It's like, oh shit! You know, I just wasted this food and all this sucks.
I was like, what's that taste?
It tasted a little bit yesterday, but now it's tasting stronger.
Now it's kind of tastes like penicillin.
Yes, I think we've all been there.
Yeah. Making penicillin.
Like, it was on, like, the third meat stick where I was, like, where I've decided to look at it. Oh, it's green. Yeah. That's a weird color. That's a weird color for me. I'm going to taste more of this dried meat.
But, yeah, talking about, like, how long food lasts, I did, years ago, lettuce from the garden. And that lasted in my fridge for about 5 weeks. I bought stuff from the store. It lasted a week and a half.
Yeah, a couple days.
So
it's getting worse right now.
Yeah. So what you grow will typically last longer than what you buy from the grocery
store. I did my first indoor grow of lettuce, and that actually lasted and tasted. Oh, my God. Delicious.
I got to show you guys. There's this guy on TikTok that I follow.
What's TikTok?
It's an app we got booted from for a gun stock in the background.
Mm.
But you got to follow this guy because he grows lettuce, bok choy, everything all year round in his greenhouse.
Nice.
And it's like, he shows the temperature. Greenhouse is 24 degrees, and he's got greens.
Well, yeah, but in the summertime, how do you grow greens like that?
Yeah, but greens like that cold temperature.
Yeah, they're cold or hardy, unless you have like a romaine is more of a summer lettuce, but most lettuces are like
collard greens are the same way.
Yeah. I gotta take a break, or are we done?
Yes.
Let's break before we
we can do an ending episode.
Yeah, let's.
Well, I get answers for questions.
Yes.
What
did
you say? Answered questions.
Lord, it's the same old tune, fiddle and guitar. Where do we take it from here? Rhinestone suits and new shiny cars. It's been the same way for years. We need to change. Somebody told me when I came to Nashville, son, you finally got it made. Old Hank made it here. We're all sure that you will, but I don't think Hank done it this way. No, I don't think Hank done it this way. Look at.
Ah, we're back. I don't think we ever went away. Oh, that.
So they heard us being just normal guys.
Yeah. When I said I had to piss so bad. Yeah, so we're back. What were we going to talk about? We talked about.
Oh, we ended up with canning.
You never looked at your phone to see if we had any questions or comments and stuff. I don't know.
There was one question about canning.
Which we started talking about.
Yeah, we already talked about
it. The only thing I do have to say about canning, buy quality lids.
Yes.
Ball is typically the best. Don't buy the off brands because they typically don't seal.
Pop at all.
Yes.
I don't even think, like, if I went to buy, so I've never canned. I'm going to try it this year. This year I'm going to try it, but I wouldn't even know an off brand. I mean, Ball seems to have the lockdown on the canning industry.
They really do.
I forget what the new one.
There's another one that's popping up.
Roots. Roots. My daughter bought me a package of them and love her to death, but they were crap.
Wow. I hope she's not listening.
Well, she didn't know.
I've only used Ball. I know Ball's changed the label for years. I think they were all Balls. They just changed stuff out every once in a while.
But it's quality, you know?
And for something like only $1 or $2 anyway, I make enough of that.
Even that, they're getting expensive. Like anything else in 2024.
It was $4.50 for the ones I just bought.
Yeah, exactly.
For the little ones.
But yeah, I mean, the main thing about canning is safety. Because you don't want botulism or any...
do a little homework. Make sure you're doing it right. If you have
cleaning
questions.
Is the most important thing.
Sterilization, yes.
So, what's your goal this year with homesteading? New? What's new? What's
probably a couple more raised beds for myself.
But new vegetable, new food. What?
Oh, new vegetables. Pretty much all the same. If I find something or somebody recommends something to me, I'm going to grow it.
But you don't have anything like on a list, like I'm going to try that this year.
No, because I got all my seeds packs and nothing. No, nothing really.
So you're at a level like you just maintain. Like this is what I need. This is what I get.
Well, yeah, because I know what we're going to go through during the winter or throughout the year. So I know what I need to grow. And then anything else is just extra. Yeah, so, yeah, that's where I'm at.
See, dude, that's why I have you on here. Because you are so advanced and don't even realize. That you've been doing this for years.
True. But, I mean, gardening is, I mean, even the most veteran gardeners will always say, you're constantly learning.
You are. The weather's always changing.
The weather's the most, I think, the most fundamental thing in gardening. Whether it's climate change or whatever. Climate's always changing.
Yeah. It dictates how much water you can get, even down to nutrients, like everything.
I mean, we had that drought 2 years ago for almost 2 months, and you got to deal with it.
You're constantly watering. Like last year, I didn't even have to hardly water. It was my favorite gardening year. I lost a couple things, but a lot of stuff grew great.
I think I watered 3 times last year.
Right, it was all in the beginning, too.
Yeah, in the beginning.
That's our biggest
After a while, I was like...
No, I don't need the water at all, too. It was I live in kind of
like a wet area, too, so my soil holds water. Yep. I'll go out there. I don't look at the plant and see if okay, you need water. I look at the soil and be like, you nothing.
Nothing. Exactly. Right. That's what you got to do. Stick your finger in that dirt and doesn't need
water. We're constantly fighting that and the weeds. And that's the main thing about gardening is the weather is, I think, number one. Because we never know if it's going to be sunny
weather
or rainy.
Weather can be tough because when you start getting that blight, it is no fun.
So what about you? What new food goal?
Actually, I got a bunch of stuff going this year because I've never actually done the garlic that I've said I'm going to be doing forever. So I'm starting that one this year.
Garlic's very important.
Yes, you got to have that. Most of my sprays just to get rid of bugs and stuff is just garlic and mint and everything. And I'm always buying the garlic. We use so much of it. So it's like, why don't I grow this?
Yeah.
So that is a new one. I do have some varieties I haven't grown before of different types of plants. So there's a lot of new in there. But other than that, I'm trying bok choy just because the kids always had it on the video games and I never knew what it was and I bought it. I shit you not. That's what bok choy is to me. I know nothing about it.
It's on video games?
Oh, yeah. I was playing that Stardew Valley game and they had a freaking bok choy in there you can grow. I don't know if that's a game, but whatever.
But, man, you know what, man, you just made a point. Like, you eat garlic, onions,
yes,
potatoes,
beans.
Like, the things you eat the most.
That's what I grow the most.
Should be the things that you dedicate most first. Of your.
Oh, yeah. Like, my Roma tomatoes, we do a lot of sauce. I make enough sauce that I don't ever buy sauce, so we need roughly 30 jars a year. So that comes down to me, roughly 6 to 8 Roma plants.
Right. And then also. Roughly. Like with me, I make my own ketchup. I haven't bought ketchup in years now because I make my own. Yep. But I know I got to grow at least 4 Roma plants, probably 6, just to have the ketchup and the spaghetti sauce.
That's why I'm doing about 10 of them because I know I need roughly 6 to 8 for that process. And anymore, like when I make my V8 juices or whatever, I use half of that. And then I will use like the brandy wines I've been growing. I got a couple new ones where I'm trying this purple one because everybody wanted it, whatever.
Yeah, you find out what your family needs and you realize how many you need to grow and then you really take care of those.
Beans?
And the other stuff you kind
of 12 like stalks of beans are too much for me. 12 stalks of beans are way too much. I have beans coming out my little. Well,
beans are hard to just like harvest and process. It's just like.
It's time
to. Well, I was talking about the green beans, not the. Most of the green beans we're eating that we're just, you know, freezing a lot of them. We did jar some of them and everything, but.
See, I do dry beans a lot.
We do have the dry beans, too. I mean, it is a lot of work.
What do you do with a dry bean?
Let them grow, and then they dry out, and then you.
Peel pot open.
Yep.
And then. Beans out.
Then I can them, too. I put them in the cans, and I suck all the oxygen out, and then I have rice and beans. So I do the jars with the rice and then the beans.
But
put aside
those
that's 10
beans
years
you need
worth
to
of
soak
if I ever need it.
So if you want beans now, you got to prepare 3-4 days in advance because
that's
you're
so
soaking these beans.
Smart. It's so simple and it's so goddamn smart.
But Ted's right about the beans. The problem with homegrown beans, they always say soak them overnight. That's not good enough.
3 days.
Yeah, 3 days, and then you got to still boil them. Yes. So, I mean, I usually do mine for like 24 hours, maybe 48 hours, then boil them for an hour, maybe 3 hours. Then they're ready.
Oh. Yeah, but no, but that's good, man. I don't mind that. I don't mind the process.
Right.
Yeah, so you have a bowl of beans overnight on your counter, whatever.
But like a few people or a lot of people always say, well, you know, that's a lot of work. Why don't you just go buy beans at the local store? I mean, we talked about that earlier.
Because I don't want to sit on YouTube. Well, that's the thing. I don't want to sit on my TV. I want to do this.
My main thing is, you know what? I grew it. I knew what I put on those. I'm eating that. Did I put any pesticides on it? What fertilizer did I put on it? I grew it. I knew exactly what I'm putting into my body.
Did put a pesticide on it? I know sure well to wash that off or.
Yeah. I mean, you should wash off anything you get from the supermarket anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's no better feeling than going out to the garden, picking a tomato, and just chomping it down.
Fresh piece tomato of asparagus. Oh, I taste asparagus. It's like, oh, this season's on.
Asparagus. You like it, asparagus? I love it. Yeah. That's great.
I love eating it, but.
I like it fresh, better than cooked anymore.
Yeah, 2-3 years, and then. But you got to have a plot that's going
to. Be dedicated to it. Constantly compost. Estate. Keep that compost up on there. You like that compost. Just like blueberries
that,
would.
Like strawberries. Like.
Yes. Real estate also. Yeah. You know? And that's in the same place every year.
Yeah.
So you got to think about that. Yep.
That's like me putting all my blueberries in the. It's not in the wrong spot. It's in a good spot. But now I'm opening up land. I don't want that in my garden now. Now I want to redig all them up and put them in the back where it's all new, you know. But
What about livestock? Anything new?
Me? No. Can I rewind real quick?
Yeah.
For the gardening thing. We always talk about, you know, the plants and all that. Another huge part in it is the tools that we use. You know, nobody thinks about shovels and hoes and rakes. That's another very important process in gardening. You need the right tools and good tools to use that. So I just wanted to bring that up.
Yeah.
As far as livestock, I have been thinking about goats. I just don't want to build fence.
I know, that's the biggest thing is getting a little barn and fence.
I got you goats covered, guys.
I know, that's what actually made me think about it. Like, okay, wait a minute, now I'm on, but that's how I got the pigs, it was all barter.
I'll tell you what, dude, honestly, I just wanted goats just to raise them, sell them. That's it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wanted purebred, alpine goats, dairy goats, and sell them.
Have you thought about blood goats?
No, I didn't know what the hell.
Meat goats.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
No. We were thinking about the dairies, just like you're doing. No, I was looking at.
Honestly, like I thought about meat goats.
Right.
But
how much goat do you eat? How much do you have in your
fridge? I don't
right
eat
now?
Goat.
Well, yeah. Why do
it? I don't mind it. Like,
dude, yeah, I like goat, but I would get one goat a year. Yeah, I wouldn't eat it. Buying it from a slaughterhouse.
I would eat a human if I had to. Like, I'm just saying.
Exactly.
I'm not gonna raise them. All right, kids. This is gonna seem like a weird day.
Yep.
No, I eat any meat. I don't care. So it's not like I have any like thing against goat meat. But when you raise goats, they're not like any other. They're so close to dogs, dude.
Yeah,
it's like
that's what everybody says. Yeah, I think our grandfather said that.
Where I was like, wow, I'm so glad I didn't go with meat goats.
We're talking about milk goats. Like when our dog, we bred our dog and she passed away, we had to actually go to a goat farm to buy the goat milk. To keep them alive, my two puppies. So after that, I was like,
"Well, goat milk. That's the thing, man. It's so close to human milk that you can use it as infant formula or for like other.
They use it for a lot.
But I love goat cheese.
Byproduct.
Goat cheese is awesome.
If you're making that cheese, you got that whey. That whey can go into a ferment that you could be putting back into your garden. Yeah. That's one thing is I'm going to be trying to do this year, too. I was trying to find somebody that had goats so I could buy the whey.
Well, here it is.
Man. Unless you're making cheese.
Well, I'll make some cheese. Well, yeah. I have two of these fridges these, and I want to make them into a cheese cave.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah.
And then I want to milk the goats. This year I'm going to milk the goats a little bit.
Yeah.
Get your feet wet.
Yeah, I don't want to do it every day, though. Like, once the
yeah, I looked into it. It's $800 for the machine, but you're not getting a lot of milk out, so now is it worth it?
Nah, once the kids are off, then I'm not going to keep her in milk and keep milking every day. Yeah. I'm going to take, like, a little bit here, a little bit there, try and make a little bit of cheese.
Gotcha. Takes a lot of milk to make
just
cheese.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does, but...
Right. You have three of them producing, and they're going to be... How long do they before they go off their mama, you know?
So, I mean, my last batch, they stayed on way too long.
2 months?
Yeah. Separate, though. I just I let nature, she was ready to kick them off.
So it's better for you if you're making cheese.
But it's a good learning thing.
Yeah.
You know, learn, you know, see what they do with Mother Nature, and then next time.
Yeah, that's what I did. I just let nature take its course, and they went a long time where I was like.
Cows do the same thing.
I think.
If you let them, they will,
yeah.
That's why they separate them a lot of the bigger farmers.
Cats do the same thing.
Well, honestly, you can wean them off at 5 weeks.
Yeah.
They can go on to grass.
But if you're going to want to collect, you might be better off 2 months of collecting. Okay, I'm done. Thank God.
You know? That's why I'm just going to collect throughout the summer here and there. Mostly not separate anything like that. I'm just going to take a little bit here and there. Just I want to taste the milk.
Right.
I want to.
Let's see how the cheese tastes.
Make cheese.
Yeah.
And
goat cheese.
Oh, I love it.
So
but I've never made it. I want to
make it. Yeah, I know. I do want to make it, but I get goats, you know?
That's my goal is just that right there. I want to tiptoe into dairy rather than...
Doing it.
I'm going all out. I'm going to milk a freaking goat every day.
Kind of like what we did with Brew and Beer. We're just doing it.
We kind of did that with beer.
Yeah, we did.
I'm a tiptoer.
Nothing wrong with that.
I like to look in and go, nope, not for me.
No,
cheers. Okay, now that guy's doing it a little bit better. Maybe I'll rethink this.
But man, this has been fun, man. I wish the TikTok didn't boot me for the firearms.
Is TikTok better than this or something?
No, I would think Instagram would have booted me way before TikTok over freaking
Facebook.
Guns.
See, I really don't know the difference. I know they're like the same type of stuff, just different.
Yeah, this is Facebook.
I think once my appeal is over, I'm in TikTok court now for a firearms violation.
Look to Rumble, maybe. Am I allowed to say that? I mean,
Instagram. I'm just doing this just so we could record.
Well, we did have that problem when we recorded that song years ago.
But just to get our feet wet here with podcasting,
it's been great.
It's been fun. First podcast.
Yeah, I think it did good.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much more we could talk about.
Well, I'm going to edit this. I have to edit it now. It wasn't gone.
3 hours?
Yeah.
It's not.
I don't know.
But how long has it been? Dude, it might be. It might be. When did we start?
It's got to be 2 hours.
I don't know. It was 40 minutes once I
first one. The second one was probably at least 30 and then another 20. So
two breaks.
Well, I'm going to edit it and then post it up. And it's going to be hopefully like a weekly thing. Where I'm gonna,
busy season, but if we could figure out how to get phones and we could sit in our houses and do this, it'd be a lot better.
But I want to do it 100% whenever you come in.
Well, like I said, I don't mind coming here, but you know, when it comes to growing season, I'm busy. I still have a 9-to-5 job that I work a lot of hours in my garden.
You guys have an open invitation.
If you stop by,
you can stop by.
Yeah,
but I'm gonna hopefully keep it live here.
Yep.
And I'm going to bring other people in, people that know sourdough, people that know beef, people that specialize in pork.
And I'll be here just to listen.
And bring somebody in on these goats. Talk to them. Let's learn more because I am interested on getting milking goats.
I could teach you about goats.
Oh, you're going to. Like I said, we've been talking about it. I'm not ready for it, but maybe by the end of summer, I'd be ready for the next year type deal.
Couple days, we're going to have some babies here. Yeah, you bring the wife and kids over. I guarantee.
Photo op.
I guarantee you buy some goats.
I know I would.
I don't think you'll fit in the pig pen.
But do you identify them as pets or livestock?
Livestock.
Okay, good. Yeah. Because you know how most people, they become pets.
Yeah, no, I don't.
That's what they want to do with my pigs, and I was not letting that happen.
I mean, growing up on a farm.
It's different. We've seen death everywhere.
Pets go to vets.
Yeah, right. in your house.
My goats don't go to vets. You get your vaccinate. I am your vet.
Or worst case scenario, you have a vet come here.
If I have.
That would be worst case scenario.
Yeah, a farm vet.
Boy.
Casper is expensive.
I like my goats. But boy, I don't know. if you go down too long, you know that whole firearm violation?
Yes.
That's becoming back around.
You don't lay around here too long.
Nope.
Back on your feet. Or else.
Or you're going to be drained.
Yeah, no. Then
you will be a blood goat.
That's the main thing. That's what I'm saying about like homesteading. You know, don't make your livestock into pets.
No, you can't.
Even with kids.
It's too much money. It's too much.
It's your.
There needs to be
it's your livelihood. Look, in a sense,
I have this rule in the kitchen. A lot of people have this rule: no single use tool, right, in your kitchen.
Yep.
Like, there's no gadget for only peeling avocados. Right? Uh-huh. Like, if you only peel avocados, in the garbage can. You have to be able to peel more than just avocados.
Yes.
So, same thing here. Like. Yep. Chickens, give me eggs, and then give me meat.
Right.
Yep. Goats, give me milk. And if I have to, they'll give me meat.
Meat, yeah. And chickens are dual purpose because they'll help you in the garden.
Yeah, they fertilize.
Yeah, that's all goats are. Dude, I'm going to show you some goat compost. You're going to be like, I'm getting goats.
Let's see. Yes.
Well, because they have kind of more like the horse kite type compost, right? They're kind of like more of a hay.
Dude, it comes out.
Like pigs?
Well, I mean, they're
No. It, but it. When you look at it, you're like, oh my, you're gonna be like, holy shit.
They're like chickens, because chickens eat everything, goats eat everything.
Yeah,
so they're carnivorous.
I really don't know goats. I've never been around goats that much, but
yeah,
but I've been talking.
But they will eat like chickens. They will eat meat.
Keeping them together, keeping the goats and the chickens together, you get a compost that's like, it's amazing. It's like gold. It's already broken down. It's so broken down when I dump it on the pile.
Because the chicken is a highly concentrated methane. I don't know what goats are, but I'm sure it interacts.
Yeah, so the goats, basically, it comes out as like...
pellets?
It's pellets like a rabbit.
All right.
And it's like deer. So like composted hay. It's just...
Yeah.
It's
nice.
It's a pellet of hay.
That's got to be great for the garden.
What do they taste like?
The pellets. they're a little earthy.
They're a little dry, a little truffle.
I shave them. Yeah. This has been fun, guys. Thanks for stopping in. Thanks for doing the first one. I definitely want you guys back. So that's it. We're going to wrap it up here on the live. And then hopefully I get out of TikTok jail and we actually start this thing for real. So,
nice.
Sounds good.
See you guys later.
Yes.
Peace out. Happy growing.
Happy growing. And this is the intro. This is the outro music that I was going to have before TikTok killed me. But nobody can hear the music anyway. Thanks, folks. I effed it up. There we go. That's the outro music. You're like a herd of bloody swine that's refused to leave the trough. You'll get name out this evening, so you better bugger up. You've been a splendid audience, but all your time is past. So, Georgie, I'll be letting the door hit you in the arse. You've been a lovely audience, but oh, enough's enough. We take it very kindly if you'd all just bugger up. Wow, bugger up, ye bastards, bugger up. Bugger up, ye bastards, bugger up. You're like a herd of fucking swine that's refusing to drop. You'll get no more this evening, so you better bugger up. And here's to all the smoking vixens waiting for the band. I'm thinking maybe one of them might make a one that's sad. But please don't take offense, because this song is not for you. To be happy to have grabbed you when this fucking crap is through. Don't bugger up, ye bastards, bugger up. So you fuckers bugger up. Now you're promising the ladies a night of love and bliss. But you can own your body, try to stand up straight and piss. So give it up, you fucking wide old cunt, do not be lame. The sooner you are out of here, the quicker we'll be paid. Bugger up, he bastards, bugger up. Bugger up, he bastards, bugger up. You're like a herd of bloody swine that's refusing to drop. You'll get no more this evening, so you better bugger up. Oh, bugger up, he bastards, bugger up. You'll get no more this evening, bastards, bastards, bugger up. You'll get no more this evening, stinking fuckers, bugger up. So haul your asses out of here, you catching bugger up.
When we first arrived at St. Jude, it was just Claire and I. She was still recovering from her brain surgery, and side effects of that surgery meant that she had to relearn how to walk.